You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Damian Barling reminding you to check out the Sacramento Kings podcast right here on the HoopBall Podcast Network for all of your Sacramento Kings news and notes. You can follow me on Twitter at Damian Barling, and you can follow us at HoopBall Kings. Don't miss a single episode of the Sacramento Kings podcast right here on the HoopBall Podcast Network.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Well, JC here on the HoopBall Lakers podcast. We sat here earlier this week and I said, I think the Lakers are going to go 3-1 in this stretch. And unfortunately, my man, we had the reverse happen. 1-3, despite locking up that number one seed. JC and Ethan here on the HoopBall Lakers podcast with you. How the hell are you, JC?
I'm doing all right.
You know, these Lakers need to snap out of it, man. I mean, they need to hit the snooze off button. We've locked up the number one seed. You know, I understand that's good to go, and that's, you know, worth celebrating in the moment, but not worth fixating on. And now I find myself in the situation where I see this team that obviously is experimenting with certain things here, JC, but is there reason to be concerned? LeBron said something along the lines of there's a weird mystery vibe sort of hovering over the Lakers. What is he alluding to here?
It's hard to say. LeBron can be kind of cryptic and ominous with his tone a lot of the time. So you never really know if it's a team thing or if it's a personal thing with him. Like I'm sure a lot of guys on his team, he's a father and kids are kind of going back to school, and maybe he's one kind of worried about that in the back of his mind. Like, could be anything really. Like all of us, I'm sure there's back of the mind stressors that everyone's kind of going through, and it's affecting everyone in one way or another, whether we really know it or not.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, in this climate, just societally, that we're living in, between a number of things, I think everybody's mental state has been affected. But was there anything specific? I know you dug into a little bit of that article from The Athletic. I believe Joe Vardone was the author of that. I call him the new Brian Windhorst these days because he just follows around LeBron. So was there anything in particular that you took away from that piece that was of substantial import here to Lakers as we move forward?
They're acknowledging a lot of the things that we're seeing. Like Anthony Davis has a quote where he says our offense is actually good. We're making the right plays, we're running our sets hard, we're finding guys for wide open shots. It's just the shooting. We have to take our time and knock down wide open shots. And that's been pretty obvious with especially tonight. I just kind of got frustrated with Markieff Morris because he's continuing to shoot really terribly from three. And right before this game, the Clippers were playing, and Marcus Morris hit like two threes at the end of the game. And I even tweeted out, like, the damn Clippers got the Morris twin that makes his threes.
Yeah, man, and that's, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you weren't going to, I certainly was. I look at this Lakers team, and of the last four games, we've had one victory. That was against Utah. The Lakers shot 9 of 26 from 3 in that game, okay? So I wouldn't say that that's good by any means, but at least it's a level of respectability where they had to defend the three-point line. JC, against Toronto, the Lakers shot 25% from the three-point line, 10 of 40. And in their last two games, JC, I don't even want to tell you. I'm sure you already know, but I don't even want to tell you that a combined 7 of 56 attempts have gone in the basket. 7 of 56. So if you reduce that fraction down, that's good for 1/8, which is a whopping 12.5%. 12.5%, JC, and we hope that more than 12.5% of you will follow the show at Hoopball Lakers. Always listen, download, subscribe. You can follow us on Twitter at JCDeLeon1 and at Ethan_Noroff. But 12.5%, JC, that's just not going to get the job done.
No, not at all. And it's, I mean, it's definitely not anything they can concern now, but I do hope it's kind of something, especially assuming Anthony Davis comes back, that they can address for kind of future teams, that the success of this team, you know, lies on driving and kicking. And so you need guys who can make threes consistently.
And that's, I mean, obviously nobody on the Lakers is making threes consistently right now. But you look at even just the box score from this evening and this, you know, 16-point loss to the Rockets, despite the fact that I realized LeBron did not play. Kuzma, you know, he had 21 points. He shot 8 of 16 from the floor. You know, you'd like to see better than 4 of 7 from the line, but overall, not bad despite 1 of 4 from 3. He was one of the only two Lakers to actually connect on one, with Markieff Morris being the other. But then you look up and down the rest of this box score and you see 0 of 3 for J.R. Smith, 0 of 4 for Dion Waiters, who, by the way, Dion Waiters was living his best life, vintage Dion Waiters tonight. A lot of possessions where it was dribble, 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 chuck the ball up. It's a special kind of something to be minus 14 in 25 minutes. So, I mean, I know Frank Vogel is experimenting, but to me, one of the major takeaways has not only been the offense and the three-point shooting been, you know, poor overall, or at least the execution side of it, but for me, one of the takeaways has been that the Lakers are really stuck on trying to figure out what the right sort of second unit blend might be for this team as they try to move forward.
Yeah, because they've got a lot of pieces that they're trying to fit in and to make work. But, I mean, at least JR has a little bit of an excuse because he's newer. Markieff was there for a little bit before the hiatus happened. And I believe he was close to a 40% three-point shooter when they signed him. So JR, I give a little bit more of a longer leash to, but I'm really disappointed in Markieff and how he's been playing.
I think, you know, whatever was kind of on his mind before he came into the bubble is, I don't know if it's still percolating or if it's just him getting reacclimated or what the situation might be. But I think part of it too, and you know, I'm not trying to blame circumstance because everybody has to adjust, but I don't know that Markieff Morris actually knows what his role on this team is. Is that sort of fair to say? Because he's been used sort of inconsistently here.
It might be that. It does kind of look like on offense he's looking from the outside in, it just kinda looks like nobody, he's been told, like, just kinda stand out behind the 3-point line and someone will kick it to you eventually. And it's sort of, that's not gonna lead to success. So they do need a little bit more of consistency there.
And I think, you know, just in general from those, you know, second unit guys, to me right now you've got two guys and Alex Caruso who didn't play tonight as well because of a neck injury, although that's considered day-to-day, and Dwight Howard who played over JaVale McGee tonight, and we're going to touch on that in just a little bit here, but he played over JaVale McGee tonight against these Rockets. Those are the two guys to me that you can look on the Lakers bench and say, okay, I know I can see these two guys as guys we can count on in the playoff rotation. By the way, it was nice to see Talen Horton-Tucker get on the floor tonight, and he didn't look so bad, JC.
I was actually going to bring him up. Yeah, he's got some talent. Like, there always kind of seems to be those young, like, LeBron doesn't like a lot of young players. He tends to like his teams with veterans and things like that, but there's always a young guy he kind of gravitates to, whether it was like Chetty Osman in Cleveland. And I know that he really likes Talen Horton-Tucker, and yeah, he's got some skill. He's got a nice little layup package. He finishes at the rim really nice. Yeah, I like him.
He's also done a lot of work on his body. I mean, even since the time he was drafted, you could tell he's in much better shape. The kid, and I say the kid for a reason, the kid is still 19 years old. So I think Talen Horton-Tucker is going to be a very little interesting player for the Lakers as the group moves forward and, you know, tries to not only develop within but find those guys on minimum deals to build around LeBron and AD. But, you know, coming back to this game just quickly, you know, let's touch on the center position because AD was actually the starting center. And, you know, he played 30 minutes. He only had 8 field goal attempts. And, you know, Quinn Cook had 12 and Deion Waiters had 10. So, again, not loving the distribution there. And, you know, against a team that literally plays small ball, Davis should have been a lot more I felt like the Lakers should have put Davis in better positions to sort of exert his natural mismatch at the offensive end of the floor than they did. Too many perimeter opportunities. But he was still 5 of 8 and 7 of 9 from the line, so 17 and 12. But 7 turnovers for AD, and I just, you know, I think that's more coincidence than anything else. But, yeah, Frank Vogel pretty much said with this center spot, you know, when they play smaller teams or smaller lineups, you know, whether it's Dwight or JaVale, there are going to be opportunities where both centers – are not going to play. So, JC, did you find it, you know, at all interesting that it was Dwight over JaVale in this case?
I mean, interesting, but not that surprising. I kind of always talk about how JaVale's sort of role is to sort of set the tone. And if he's not going to start at center, I don't really see a lot of point in him kind of being the first center off the bench either, because overall, Dwight ends up playing more minutes and more of the crunch time minutes. So, yeah, that wasn't really that surprising.
Yeah, I think that makes sense when you look at it from that perspective. And I think, too, that, you know, for Frank Vogel to have that admission, I think says something about how he views what this Lakers team is going to look like in the postseason. Because as this team moves forward, assuming they are able to march forward toward their sort of ultimate goal or ultimate destiny, however you want to look at it, you know, I think AD at the five is going to have to become more commonplace. And I wonder if the absence of JaVale, who typically plays, you know, anywhere between, oh, it could be as low as 10 or as high as, you know, 18, 19 minutes, I wonder if that's what helped get Markieff Morris on the court for 18 minutes in tonight's game.
Yeah, it could. And it could also have just been another experiment, like looking at who started tonight. You could basically roll this lineup and just kind of insert LeBron at the point guard, and you could still have Kuzma at the power forward and KCP at the small forward and Danny Green at the shooting guard. And so this starting lineup with LeBron at point guard probably obviously would have looked much different, but yeah, they could consider bringing that as the playoff lineup.
And I mean, and I think, you know, they would love for that lineup to be able to be count onable, for lack of a better phrase or way to say it. I mean, Danny Green and KCP, you know, they combined to shoot 9 of 14 tonight. Interestingly enough, all twos except for one three-point attempt from KCP. So I think they're both still struggling with confidence. And I think that's, you know, for them right now, as it would be for any shooter, kind of goes hot or cold. I think you can pretty much anticipate Jared Dudley not playing 11 minutes in any playoff game. I mean, he might make an appearance or two, but 11 minutes seems like a long stretch for Mr. Duds. And I think, you know, JR, what we're seeing is even in these experimentation settings, he's still very much looking like that insurance policy. I don't see, you know, a sort of an expanded role for JR as this team moves forward. But I'm curious about Talen Horton-Tucker because he is a very, very interesting player. And, you know, the Lakers obviously have a lot on the line when it comes to playoff time, JC. So do you think that he's somebody who could kind of sneak his way into the rotation here?
It's going to depend mostly on his defense, I think. If he can be an impactful player on defense, similar to the way Alex Caruso kind of cemented his status on the roster, for right now, I think that's going to be his where he gets his minutes if he can put in some solid defensive minutes.
Well, I just snatched up a bunch of his rookie cards, so I'm very hopeful that he sort of explodes on the scene here because I snatched up a bunch of them on the cheap here. So I guess we'll see what time brings us, right, my man?
Yep.
All right. So, you know, when it comes to the Lakers, I guess, you know, one of my other questions is, with the exception of being able to sort of improve from within, is there anything, you know, sort of schematically or tactically, and when I say improve from within, I mean really just making shots and better execution. But is there anything like sort of schematically or tactically that you would like to see more of or less of from this Lakers team. For me, like, one of the things that I noticed in watching tonight's game is that I felt like there were a lot of times where the spacing wasn't as good as it could have been in other situations. So have you noticed anything along those lines?
I mean, I have, but and I think it all kind of just kind of starts with LeBron and Anthony Davis. They even acknowledge that in that article from The Athletic where Anthony Davis says, especially now when we're not making shots on a consistent basis, the chances aren't in our favor when we're, and he means LeBron and himself, aren't playing well. And so I think the playoffs, we're going to see a much different LeBron, obviously. And so I think that will sort of shift the mindset of the team, and it'll make them do the things they need to do. Because even for the most part right now, like, yeah, they're getting good shots. It's just a matter of them falling. And sometimes that can just be a matter of confidence or a sense of urgency. And that'll obviously be raised once the playoffs start.
And I think, you know, that's kind of my, not concern for the Lakers, but that's sort of one of my overarching questions again, is that despite locking up the one seed and wanting to see some of these different variables, I understand wanting to make sure guys have appropriate rest and sort of not coasting into the playoffs, but preparing for it accordingly, because it is just around the corner in this setting. But JC, like, I really kind of wanted this Lakers team to be on a surge going into the playoffs, because like we talked about, you know, when the bubble was first starting to take shape here, so the Lakers are really playing well. They were riding a wave mm-hmm. when everything came crashing down, and we haven't seen that similar momentum. So what, I mean, to you, is it important that you see some signs of a turnaround here? Because the Western Conference, no matter how it shakes out, it's not exactly going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, it's important that they generate some momentum going into the playoffs. I think, you know, they're halfway into the seeding schedule here in the bubble, and so figure maybe one more game they can put in a lackadaisical effort like this, but the last three games, at least they've got to go 2-1 at the very least and generate some real momentum going into the playoffs.
And we knew that, you know, their schedule would be a challenge, you know, because we saw the opponents on the schedule. It was obvious. But at the same time, this is a team that, you know, is presumed to be, you know, if not the title favorite, certainly a title favorite. It's getting interesting out east, though, just to take a quick tangent over there. As you were talking about before the show, JC, you were noticing an interesting trend with Milwaukee and a reason why they may not be coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, so just kind of – just because in the bubble, there's weird things going on. Like, Lakers are 2-2, Clippers are 1-2, Milwaukee's 1-2, Phoenix is 3-0. And so just out of curiosity, I hopped onto Milwaukee's record, and, like, in all of February, they went 10-1. And then since March 1st, they've gone 3-6, including the 1-2 in the bubble, as I've mentioned. And so, yeah, I think even the playoffs last year, I think, sort of demonstrated that if you can contain Giannis as best as you can to contain a guy like that, that pretty much shuts all of the Bucks down.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's something that I've seen against the Lakers in the last few, you know, handful of games here, is that teams are seem to be really focusing on doubling AD, and, you know, they're limiting his opportunities to catch the ball in comfortable spots or to make comfortable offensive opportunities. So, you know, with the exception of the game against the Jazz, I don't want to say AD has been quiet, but by his standards, I think he's been sort of quiet. So I'm curious if Lakers have an adjustment for that. Vogel did say after the game today, you know, he was pretty transparent, for lack of a better word. He said, look, he's like, I know what kind of what needs to be fixed. He's like, but I also need practice time. And, you know, I think there's something to be said for that, because Lakers are trying to integrate some new parts. And on top of that, what's happening is they're just not a cohesive unit right now. So until they have sort of those reps and that muscle memory reformed, it's going to be hard to sort of replicate the same successes that they had prior. So, JC, I don't know, man. I'm a little bit more, I don't want to say I'm feeling, you know, on edge, but I'm a little bit more intrigued than I was a couple of days ago, and not exactly in a positive way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely some concern. I just think we kind of need to see how the last four games of the bubble schedule play out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the Lakers' perspective, right, if you're able to sort of solidify ground, even if the results aren't earth-shattering, but if you're able to just solidify the ground that you walk on moving forward here, you'll be sort of reestablished. And sometimes just the threat of the threat can be greater than the actual threat itself, right? So I think that's when you're talking about the Lakers. For me, what I'd really like to see on top of coming out of these last handful of games, or I should say that in addition to coming out of these last handful of games on top, I'd really like to see that second unit come together. I have not seen that cohesiveness. Though some of those rotations have been rather experimental instead of wonky, we'll call them, but rather experimental. And I'd really like to see the Lakers commit to something that I think, you know, they can use both in the short term, but especially in the long term as the postseason starts to take shape. Is there any lineup change or sort of tweak that you want to see here, JC, as the Lakers move forward?
I don't mind what they did tonight, inserting Kyle Kuzma into the starting lineup. The only concern there was that it does kind of decimate the second unit where Kyle was really shining and sort of keeping this team afloat. And so, yeah, I think either – I mean, if you insert Kyle Kuzma into the starting lineup, you can maybe give LeBron a little bit more rest so that way he can play with the second unit in the second quarter a little bit more. But that might be the only kind of tweak to make. Like it can't be said enough. Like, we've got to establish some sort of role for Markieff to give him a purpose.
Do you really think that Kyle Kuzma would operate with the same level of aggression and sort of assertiveness offensively if he were in a starting lineup alongside LeBron that he did tonight when it was just he and AD out there?
That's the other concern is, yeah, it could kind of hurt the productivity that he's been. Like, his most productive might be to be the first off the bench.
And I think that for Kuzma, he's still very much learning how to play alongside LeBron and whether, you know, in certain situations, whether to defer or whether to sort of take the lead, and he's sort of figuring himself out as a player. But, you know, in a team setting, it's all about support, and we are also all about support at HoopBall. So support for HoopBall is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming, fellas, okay? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools in your grooming experience. So whether you're talking about the new and improved just-released Lawnmower 3.0, whether you're talking about the 7,000 RPM motor quiet-stroke technology, or whether you're even talking about making sure that its water-resistant tech allows you to groom in the shower, there are plenty of selling points when it comes to this product. And if you listen to us before, you already know that I am a dedicated 100% loyal user. And if you don't take my word for it alone, well, JC, we have an additional incentive for them. You can get 20% off right now and free shipping. So that's like 25% off right there just by using the code HOOPBALL20. That's HOOP, H-O-O-P, BALL, B-A-L-L, 2020. All one word, capitals, put it in at manscaped.com. Thank us later. That's 20% off and free shipping with that code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. JC, they must be sold out. We've been doing so many of these promos.
Yeah, this.
They got to be totally sold out at this point.
Yeah, they're all over the place. They're all over just about every podcast on the internet. So, yeah.
I actually was driving home from work today, and I saw a billboard for Manscaped as well. So I think they're going heavy in both print and digital media. So, you know, there's certainly something to be said for that. I think a lot of people are stuck giving themselves haircuts. So if you're going to flood the market, right, has there ever been a better time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I guess those marketing dollars got to go somewhere. As somebody who does that in the public school system, I would love to have the same capacity, but that's a story for a different day and a different podcast, JC. So the Lakers sit here. Obviously, they're on top of the standings, having clinched the number one spot ahead of the playoffs. But as these standings continue to take shape, JC, are there any sort of movements that you're keeping an eye on or just saying, that's interesting?
Well, Portland is playing really well. And so Memphis just lost Jaren Jackson Jr. for the rest of the season. And so,
yeah.
And the Spurs have been playing really well. And so it seems as though the battle for the A spot might come down to Portland and San Antonio, especially if New Orleans is going to keep benching Zion in crunch time, which I don't understand. Phoenix is 3-0, like we mentioned.
Part of the plan, according to David Griffin. What plan? I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, part of the plan.
Yeah. Phoenix is 3-0, like we mentioned. I haven't heard really anything about Sacramento. oddly enough. So I figure they're obviously out of it. Not a lot of movement in the East because, yeah, Milwaukee was so far ahead of Toronto, but Toronto's been playing really well. I think Boston has been playing solid. Miami's played really well overall. Indiana can't move up much, but they've been playing really well. Philadelphia had a big loss with Ben Simmons subluxated his kneecap. I think that's just a dislocation of his kneecap.
By definition, that's a dislocation. And as somebody who's done that, who's definitely not an NBA athlete and never will be, never came close to being one, but as somebody who's done that, that is not a day-to-day injury, my friend.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
No, it is not. And for somebody who's a professional basketball player, who's almost 7 feet tall, who, you know, needs his knees and legs to sort of do his job, I would be surprised, and I would be pleasantly proven wrong if Ben Simmons is not going to miss an extended period of time, if not the remainder of the season.
Yeah. And then plus there's just an interesting gap in that in the seeding from Philadelphia at 6 to Brooklyn at 7. There's a 9-game difference. And so you got to figure seven, 8, and 9 aren't going to factor much into the East.
Right. So refresh the audiences and my own memory. At the end of this bubble program, when it comes to the regular season, any team that's within 4 games of the 8th spot is entered into this playoff sort of seeding conference to get into the playoffs. Is that correct?
Something like that, yeah. And so it seems as though there'll be some kind of 1-game playoff scenarios for out west.
So as of, you know, this moment in time, Portland, Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, and New Orleans are all within 4 games of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a fun little tournament.
Oh yeah, it's going to be interesting.
That will directly impact the Lakers. So if you had to pick one of those teams today, JC, since we're talking about the Lakers here to bring it back to the 1-8 spot, if you had to pick one of those teams today to say, yeah, that's the team the Lakers are probably going to play, Memphis, Portland, Phoenix, San Antonio, Sacramento, and New Orleans, which one are you going with and why?
I would say Portland. They've got the playoff experience. Yeah. They're playing really well. This is a season they weren't expected to really have Nurkic back, and they have him back now. And so that's sort of an extra piece they didn't count on at all. And Melo lost some weight, and he's been playing really well. So, yeah, if I had to guess, I would say Portland. And plus, Charles Barkley went on the record and said he thinks Portland would beat the Lakers in the first round. So I'd like to see that not happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I said to my buddies in the group chat the other day, I said, look, you know, Portland's kind of one of those teams that I don't want to see in the first round because I really don't want to play Damian Lillard in the first round. I think he's a very real game changer. And like you said, they've been playing well. So if I had to pick a team today, I would also pick Portland. But, man, Phoenix is playing very well. And Devin Booker and now DeAndre Ayton starting to get going. So it looks like Phoenix could have the beginning of something with at least those two guys. And if they can get Kelly Oubre on the floor, that'll also be helpful for them. But yeah, Portland looking like the favorite for that 8 spot right now.
I think it'd be such a cool story if Phoenix did, because especially they've been so terrible for so long, for them to kind of come into this bubble, and if they're for them to reclaim that spot, that'd be amazing.
So would you say that you'd be placing any wagers on Phoenix as a long shot right now?
Yeah, Phoenix would be the biggest long shot and probably have the best paying odds. And if you'd like to see that come to fruition, you can test that theory at mybookie.ag. They are a home run, a slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it. You love it. That should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. They have up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams. There's never been a better time to start playing. You can join today, and they will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss in a free $10 MLB future wager, presumably on a future game. All you have to do is enter the promo code HOOPBALL, 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 when signing up at mybookie.ag. It's easy. You bet, you win, they pay.
I mean, what do you need more than that? Free money, free opportunity, ready to multiply your cash. Let's get it done. If only betting were that easy, right?
Yeah.
only buying a scratch ticket with that much of a guarantee. I mean, when it comes to the Lakers, JC, I feel like, you know, I know Lakers fans are going to, some of which are going to freak out because, you know, they're not used to losing in this particular season. It's easy to forget all the seasons that were downtrodden of late, to say the least, given the success this year. But I think the rational Lakers fan, and yes, they do exist, but I think the rational Lakers fan is going to look at this and say, look, they're obviously figuring some things out. They've clinched the top spot in the Western Conference. I put AD and LeBron against anybody else in the league. And, you know, I think, JC, like you mentioned, it's a good point that there are some strange things happening in the bubble. And I think it does sort of, in some ways, the setup of the schedule and just sort of the overall totality of the process, it does sort of not necessarily favor the younger teams, but it does put some of those younger teams in more comparable situations because they're sort of able to run a little bit more and, you know, feel like they have something to prove a little bit. You always see those types of games, I feel like, at the end of the regular season where that team that you don't expect to win that night comes in on the road and wins in a certain situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think we're seeing a little bit of that. And, you know, come playoff time, obviously, you know, the lights will turn on and things will be a little bit different. But we want to see the Lakers get rolling here before playoff time. And I'm just going to kind of end my final thought, JC, with this. If you are still denying the importance of Alex Caruso on this team, open your eyes, baby. Alex Caruso, I mean, with all honesty, he's been the Lakers' best guard in the bubble.
Yeah, most consistent defensively. He plays smart offensively, even though he doesn't score a lot himself. Definitely can't be said enough how many things he does that don't show up on the stat sheet. Like, there's got to be some kind of stat that can be created to show someone like him the credit he's due.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible, man. And so, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say Caruso for MVP, but Caruso certainly for something. So that's going to be it for me. You got any final word, JC?
Not for me.
All right. So, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, as a reminder, at HoopBallLakers. JC is at JCDeLeon1. You can find me at Ethan_Noroff. Find the whole HoopBall family at HoopBallTweets and HoopBallFantasy. We appreciate you listening. And until next time, we out.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.